Thanks for spending time with us on this special edition of The Green. I'm Tom Byrne. Human composting officially became legal in the first state this year. It's a process that involves the body decomposing into soil, which is then given back to the families of the deceased. Delaware is one of just 12 states to allow it, as more Americans look to environmentally friendly alternatives to conventional burial and cremation. Earth Funeral, an organic reduction provider in Washington State, helped guide Delaware's plans for this alternative practice. And this week, Delaware Public Media's Kyle McKinnon spoke with Earth Funeral CEO and co-founder Tom Harries about human composting and how it works.
Human composting is a concept that sounds fairly straightforward, but I think there's a lot to unpack here. So can you define human composting to start things off for us and how long this method, so to speak, has been around?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the highest level, human composting is an environmentally friendly alternative to burial and cremation. It's probably most similar to cremation in that it's an indoor process, but instead of being turned into ash via fire, you're getting gently transformed into nutrient-rich soil using microbes. So at the absolute highest level, it's the process by which a body is gently transformed into nutrient-rich soil. The process was first legalized in Washington State in 2019 or 2020. That was state number one. Delaware became state number 10, and we're up to 12 states in total now. So it's gained pretty quick momentum.
Yeah, I'd say so. When it comes to concerns, what have you heard from people regarding those? Is there a common thread here? Are there any sentiments that you usually hear from folks who are concerned about human composting?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the concern comes from misunderstanding, and the concern comes from just being a bit suspicious of things that are new. But fundamentally, what we find it comes down to is people are uncomfortable questioning their own mortality. And actually, if you think a little bit about the process of being embalmed and buried, it's not particularly pleasant. If you think about the process of being cremated at 1500 degrees, it's arguably not very pleasant. We find that composting falls in that category too, where it's more a question of considering your own mortality than anything specifically wrong with our process. And our process is much more tech-driven and science-driven than human composting might suggest. It's optimizing a completely natural process. It's doing that through a state-of-the-art vessel. It's using proprietary science, that sort of thing. So this is not just, as some legislators have said, throwing a body on a compost pile. This is a high-tech, completely safe, highly tested process.
I've read some of that commentary out there, like people not wanting to, you know, be turned into soil or tomatoes or whatnot, among other things, you know, commentary that echoes, you know, sentiments of, isn't this what cemeteries, you know, do already? The bodies in their coffins eventually decompose. The same can kind of go for the cremation process. You know, what's the difference? Why is this needed? That kind of thought process feels like an uphill climb. Regardless of how fast this has happened in the past, you know, 5-6 years, it feels like an uphill climb that you probably continuously have to make. Am I on base with that? Or are more people, states, lawmakers, whoever it may be, are they more open to this than we might think?
Yeah, so I would start by a lot of the context behind human composting comes from the fact that the traditional funeral industry is not very sustainable. So you've got burial, which has been the long established method. But burials using a lot of valuable urban land, for example, it's arguably not the best use of land in a lot of urban cities. It's also putting all sorts of harmful pollutants into the ground, non-degradable wood, metal, concrete, embalming fluid, which is ultimately just toxic chemical. And then cremation, kind of entertainingly, has been considered the environmentally friendly alternative. But in my definition of environmentally friendly, a fossil fuel driven process that overtly emits plumes of smoke and other toxic gases is not friendly to the environment in any way, shape, or form. So that sort of has driven the popularity or rising popularity of composting, but also it's a gentle natural process. It is better for the environment, but it also offers this return to nature too. So the soil from the compost process, the compost gets used for conservation projects. So reforestation projects, maybe wildfire restoration on the West Coast, restoring challenged ecosystems. it's this really nice return to nature. And touching upon your point about legislators and regulators, what's really interesting about the legislation is this has been really grassroots driven. This is not like big composting or like the big composting industry really driving this. This is people seeing this in their respective states, being like, I like the idea of that. I'm going to contact one of my local assembly members, senators, representatives, whoever, and try and get this passed in my state. So it's grown very organically because people resonate with this process.
Yeah, and it is indeed growing at a pretty darn fast pace, at least here in the States. Let's get into the finer details of human composting then. From start to finish, how long does this process take?
Yeah, so for Earth, the process takes about 30 to 45 days. So it's much quicker than people realize, but also it's never going to be as quick as cremation. That's kind of the beauty of it. To us, that is representative of the fact that it's a natural process and it's a gentle process. This is not going to take 2 hours. This is a gentle, natural process.
Well, how much soil then is, you know, produced from this? I'm guessing it depends on the person.
Yes, correct. So the length of process and the amount of soil produced depends on the size of the person. So the average person is going to produce about a half cubic yard of soil. And that's why we have conservation partners, because a half cubic yard of soil, for listeners who perhaps don't know how much that is probably a couple of wheelbarrows full. So it's too much soil for most people. So what we find is the majority of people we work with take a few portions. So we have these sort of small biodegradable containers. You can scatter the soil, you can plant the soil, you do something that's meaningful to you and your family. And then we offer families the ability to donate to conservation projects. So we currently operate on the West Coast at the moment. So we have a beautiful piece of land on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington, which we're reforesting. And then we're partnered with a land trust on near the Sierra Nevada mountain range on the West Coast, where we're doing an ecosystem restoration project. So it's a piece of land that's been historically aggressively agricultured, and we're using this compost to return it to a native savanna ecosystem. So this is the really cool part about it, is not only is it a nicer process for the individual, not only is it better for the environment, it offers this really amazing legacy of restoring and protecting land for future generations too.
So you said people usually take X amount of that soil. Is there something that people might normally do with the soil that you hear back in terms of, you know, feedback or whatnot?
We've just launched a series called Lasting Legacies, and we're learning more about the people that are choosing our services and what they're doing with the soil. And it's been fascinating to learn all the different things that people do with this soil. So we've heard people planting memorial gardens. We've heard people planting bushes, potted plants. We've had people who went on multi-state road trips that they did with their lost loved one and scattered the soil in every place that they stopped on that road trip. We have people who keep the soil. And this is the beauty of it, is I think soil is so much more accessible than cremated remains, much more approachable. It's something we're used to versus cremated remains, which I feel like we're quite hands-off and sort of cautious about. So I think it's a really nice way to honor your loved one through the flexibility that soil allows.
And again, I'm sure there's a lot of factors that play into this and a lot of context from person to person, but are you able to ballpark what it might normally cost?
Yeah, so we are about $5,000. So actually incredibly reasonable. I think the average burial in the US is well over $10,000. It depends by state a little bit. The East Coast is typically significantly more expensive than the West Coast. And then cremation is not going to be that much less. And in many instances, it's more. So we're pretty comparable to existing options, if not significantly cheaper.
Well, is there a body type or a kind of person, something, whatever, that wouldn't qualify for this?
So I think this is part of the, is this a safe process conversation? And this is a safe process because there is eligibility criteria. There is regulation of the process itself. And then there are test requirements of the soil output too. So people can be very assured that the soil output is safe for humans, plants, animals, etc. The eligibility criteria I talk about precludes a very small number of people. And this is if you died in a radiological accident. This is if you had Ebola. This is if you had prion disease, which is mad cow disease, that sort of thing. So for 99.99% of people, you're perfectly eligible. And the small percent who die from Ebola, unfortunately, will be precluded.
Yeah, so pretty extreme qualifiers there. So what would you say to someone then if they're interested in going this route, but, you know, do have some concerns about doing it? What do you say to them?
So at Earth, we host a lot of people at our facility. And this can either be virtual or this can be in person. And what's really exciting about how we've thought about our facilities is we realize we're having to normalize this as a concept. We realize that people have to trust us. So we're creating these really architecturally beautiful facilities, which has not been an approach that anyone's really taken to the funeral industry before. Maybe you've got like a fancy funeral home, but you've never had like a nice crematory. So our facility is the state of the art. We invest a lot of money. We invite families to come and visit. And you can see the vessel we use and how it's state of the art. You can use the natural material we use as part of the process. Organic mulch, wood chip, wildflower. You can meet our team. And people who do come and visit, again, whether that's in person or virtual, I think leave excited. And that's a strange word to use in a funeral space. People are rarely excited because actually a lot of what we do is people planning and pre-paying for the future, which is a generally recommended piece of end-of-life planning. But people are excited by this option, which cannot be said for cremation. And I'm not sure can be said for burial and the other options either. For us, this is consumer choice. If you would like to be composted, we're here to make that as easy a process as possible for you. And if you want to be cremated or buried, like, that's your prerogative. And that's the beauty of the US. It's a free country. That's a lot of the argument behind legislating this. Is it's consumer choice. And ultimately, states that don't pass legislation, people just go to the neighboring states.
Thanks to Earth Funeral CEO and co-founder Tom Harries and our Kyle McKinnon for joining us on The Green this week. And that's all we have time for on this special edition of The Green. The interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. You can also sign up for our weekly newsletter there by clicking newsletters at the top of the page. And remember, The Green is also available via podcast at our website, as well as Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and the NPR and Delaware Public Media apps. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page or by emailing us at thegreen@delawarepublic.org. Thanks to all those who helped make this week's show possible. Our Candidate Conversations producers, Ethan Grandin, Jeet Hanslin, and Robert Stice, and Delaware Public Media senior producer, Kyle McKinnon. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Bernsink. Thanks for joining us on this special edition of the show, and we'll see you again Friday for our regular edition of The Green, where Delawareans get tuned into a first state of mind.